Nothing can be more irritating and at the same time useful as unvarnished customer feedback. With the summer travel season over, citizens are taking to the internet to vent about experiences they've had at airports and passport lines or visiting national parks. Smart managers see bad reports as a good thing. Joining me with more, Mallory Barg-Bowman, Research Director at the Partnership for Public Service. And Mallory, it sounds like once you get over being mad at those jerks posting nasty stuff, you might learn something from them.
Sure. Good morning, Tom. There's actually one of the interesting things once you start looking at the online customer reviews of government agencies is that they're not all bad. In fact, there's some agencies that really are quite good. If you go to the passport services, there's actually one in particular in New York, and the reviews are really tremendous. They have 365 reviews right now, and they have 4.5 stars, which is incredible. And their comments there are unbelievable. Here's one from the 24th of August, and it says, "When I went through, it was such a relief. They were fast, no fuss about anything." And it goes on, actually, for quite a few paragraphs. And there's one from almost every week this summer talking about how the passport service was really very helpful. And the other part that's interesting when you look at some of these online customer reviews is, you know, citizens are helping each other with the experience. This one is really interesting from Yellowstone National Park. This one person put up in May about different phone service, about Verizon, that you can have access around the park. AT&T is not existent. And so it's citizens helping each other with the customer experience.
Interesting. I should just add a sidelight here that at federalnewsradio.com, we've got an interview with Jonathan Jarvis, the director of the National Park Service. And he says that that's one of their goals for the next few years is to get good cellular service without towers into the national park so all those selfies can get right out of there.
Well, it's really about that is really interesting, and it's really about meeting the citizen where they are. That it's something that's recognized. You know, he's recognizing that that's an important part of the experience. And one of the really neat things that we're seeing in government is agencies meeting folks where they are. You know, when kids are going back to school these weeks, and they're being asked what did they do over their summer break, very few of them are saying I interacted with the government. But as you said, they really, so many different touches that happen during summer vacation really happen with the government. They happen at the, you know, more than almost 60 national parks. They happen through passports. They happen all over the place. And with the August 2015 memo that came out of GSA, government is being encouraged to really use a lot of the channels that folks use for, you know, talking to celebrities or rating their favorite restaurant or any of that to also rate their experience with government. And it's really powerful.
What can agencies do to make use of that feedback that they get?
Sure. So there's any number of different things. And some of them, I'll say, are one-way communications where they're just analyzing the data that are there. You know, they can compare themselves, you know, compare one passport office to another. They can look at one park. They can look at Yellowstone versus Bryce Canyon. But you also see agencies having a two-way communication over social media. You know, the Passport Services has hashtag AskTravelGov, which has people posting questions about their passports and allows them access directly to a passport officer. So you have people saying, I don't have a birth certificate, but I have a form called Child Born to an American Citizen Outside of the Country, or how do I get a passport? You know, what documents do I need? Where is a passport office in San Francisco? Any of number of things. And a lot of these agencies have social media staff available to answer these questions. So it really is an opportunity not just to interact with individuals through a call center or through a walk-in center, but really meet them online as well.
One of the airlines that I use regularly and have for about 30 years sends in the mail little slips of paper that if you encounter an employee that's really good, I suppose, and maybe really bad for that matter, you can fill out the flight, the time of day, date, and so forth, and the employee's name, mail it in, and I don't know what they do with it. But could that be a way for agencies to identify specific employees that are really good?
Absolutely. And, you know, we see other things happening, too. There's the cross-agency priority goal related to customer service. And as part of that, at selected locations, they've put terminals where individuals can give a smiley face or a frown of the type of experience that they're having. Government's really experimenting with a lot of different ways to get that direct feedback. Forrester is one of the leading groups who does customer service research, and what they found recently, they reported that 45% of citizens think that agency representatives understand their needs, and that's the private sector benchmark on that number is 60%. So government really has a ways to go in making citizens feel that they're being heard and being understood. And so it's really time to experiment with some new things.
Because most of what government does, it has a monopoly on, A, or B, it is doing something that is compulsory, like arresting you or screening your baggage or something. And so you really don't have any choice over the occurrence of this. And that can give rise to a lot of bad feedback, as we've seen and heard in recent months and years. But I wonder if in situations like that, there's even possibility of quote-unquote customer service improvement.
Oh, absolutely. And I think some of it is separating the process from the decision, that even if you don't like paying your taxes, for example, the process can be made easy. And even if you like visiting a national park, the process of getting a permit or gaining access or, you know, like you said, not having cell phone service can create a difficulty. So it's really separating the outcome, if you will, from the customer service, from the interaction. And so much of what government does is involved in the management and the process that this really is an important point to start getting some better data on.
Because I've actually had roadside pullover. I had one last winter that was a fairly pleasant experience, believe it or not. It was the middle of the night, which is when I usually drive here. And I was driving a beat up old jalopy that we've had around for ages. It's the beater car that we keep around. And if I was a state trooper, I wouldn't want to pull over a nasty looking truck like that in the middle of the night. But it turns out some light was burned out in the back. And that was what they wanted to tell me. And the most polite trooper I'd ever met, this little moon face popped into the opposite window and said, "Sir, you've got this light out." It could have gone a lot of different ways, but it was very pleasant.
That's exactly right. And I think the more individuals get training around that and around what it's like to provide a quality customer experience, the better that that's going to go. And you've remembered that even though it was several months ago. So what we're really looking for is to identify those cases where agencies are providing great customer service and helping other agencies replicate those practices.
So I guess it's time for us all to get along then, basically.
Sounds like it.
Mallory Barg-Bowman is Research Director at the Partnership for Public Service. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.